Your business is on the runway, ready for takeoff, yet your team is not even making contact. You're exhausted, and the business needs to make more money to stay successful. What do you do next? Welcome to Ask the Coach with professional business coach Oliver Basner. If you're ready to soar to new heights with your business and be the pilot of your own successful destiny, stay tuned. We're ready to roll. Now, here's your host, Oliver Basner.
Hi everyone, Oliver Basner here with Ask the Coach. Welcome to today's episode, and I am very excited to be talking about goal setting. Now, I know some of you are thinking goal setting. I've already been through workshops. I've heard about goal setting. I've done SMART goals. They didn't work, or maybe they did work. Well, we're going to put a whole different spin and perspective on goal setting. In fact, I'm going to go way deeper than maybe what you've heard in the past around this entire topic of goal setting, because I really do believe goal setting can work if it's done correctly. But we just don't seem to do it in a way that's effective without it becoming a chore almost, without it becoming difficult for you to do. And so that's why we're going to talk about goal setting on today's show, and going to dig really deep on what's worked with my clients, what's worked with myself in the past. You know, I really did a deep analysis prior to the show on what have I done in the past to make things work? Why do my clients seem to achieve their goals? And what's the difference from them versus everybody else out there who often struggle with achieving their goals or, you know, never even having any sets? So let me give you a quick story with you to start. You know, one of my first clients, this was years ago when I first became a coach and a consultant, was a gentleman who'd lost his entire life savings in the stock market crash in 2008. And so he was wiped out. He had taken a couple of courses and workshops on how to become an entrepreneur. He wasn't doing well by the time, you know, I got introduced to him and we started talking. And in my first conversation with him, we had a meeting set up, and I remember it distinctly. I even remember the coffee shop we were in, because you just don't remember these kinds of conversations. He said to me, he was very honest. He says, "I'm thinking about killing myself." And so, you know, as a coach, I mean, that's not something often that we hear from a potential client, but I can tell you that it really rattled me and shocked me that, you know, he'd gotten to a point where he had lost hope to the point where he didn't want to live anymore. And so, you know, not only was it a long conversation that night because I wanted to make sure he was okay, but I reassured him that, you know, definitely I could help him and we could help him move forward in his business. And it took me, you know, I remember even just around a simple thing like setting some goals, it took me about 3 months to convince him to even thinking about writing a goal, to even think about putting something on paper that he was going to commit to. He had just given up completely that he was going to be able to achieve his dreams and goals. And then it took me a little bit longer. It wasn't much longer, though, but it was a few weeks after that where I had convinced him to actually go to a dealership and stand beside the car that he wanted. It was a white Mercedes. Now, I can tell you, you know, I'm not going to go into the full story, but I can tell you at the end of the year of us working together, he'd achieved all 10 of his goals. He came bouncing into my office. He was so excited, and he'd already set up his next 10 goals for the following year. Now, I will tell you, he never did achieve that white Mercedes in that first year because he changed that goal. He actually wanted a BMW motorcycle, which he managed to purchase. So he changed the goal from a car to a you know, high-end motorcycle, and it did achieve that as one of his goals as well. So, you know, goal setting can work, but there are some strategies and techniques that you need to use, and I'm going to give you those on this show. We're going to talk about them. It's not about, you know, the theory. This is what works. This is exactly what works, and that's why we're talking about it. So, you know, when you think about goal setting, it just seems to be like one of those other things. Those of you that have sometimes been in somebody's office where they use post-it notes to stay organized, you know, they've got post-it notes stuck all around their monitor, stuck on their desk, maybe stuck on their bulletin board. It just seems like there's 100 to-dos all over the post-it notes. That's almost what, you know, setting goals can feel like. It becomes one of those other tasks or overwhelming things that we have to deal with in daily life. And, you know, some of those goals could be, you know, I want to drink less, quit smoking, join the gym, lose weight, save money, pay off my debts, find a new job or change my career or get new clients. You know, I want to get fit, help others. You know, I want to find love in my life. I want to take a trip somewhere and enjoy life. Well, that's a pretty big list. And, you know, probably some of you can relate to this list. Some of you would like to achieve some of those things. You know, but when we think about goal setting, it doesn't have to be this overwhelming thing. And in fact, when we think about major corporations that are successful, and I've worked in many of them and I've worked with many of them, major corporations all have goals. They just call them budgets. So they call them budgets. It's just a different word, right? But when we think about, you know, goal setting, and we've all heard of SMART goal setting, right? Which is, you know, what's the acronym for SMART? Well, it's got to be specific. You know, well, budgets in corporations are specific. It's got to be measurable. Yeah, they are measurable. I can tell you for sure, everything gets measured in a corporation. You know, the A often has been said to be achievable. I actually like Brian Tracy's acronym for the A, which is aligned with values. You know, if the goal isn't aligned with your values, either personal values, if it's a personal goal, or corporate values, probably not a good thing to go after or to try and achieve, because either you're not going to hit it, and if you do hit it, you're going to find that probably it's not sustainable. And then the R is realistic. Well, again, when we look at corporations, are their budgets realistic? They think they are when they're setting them. You know, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, but when they're setting them, they believe them to be realistic. And they need to be time-bound. Well, in every corporation, they have a fiscal year end. And so, yes, they're very time-bound, or it might be a 3 or 5 year strategy or goal, and it's time-bound that way as well. So if corporations are using goals, and it's the successful ones that are actually achieving their goals, then why wouldn't we think that goal setting would be important either in our businesses or in our personal lives to achieve success? You know, I love, there's a Dilbert cartoon that I saw years ago, and I just, you know, he's sitting at a desk, and, you know, he says, goals are a form of self-inflicted slavery. Yeah, it can totally feel that way. It can feel like it's just another form of torture that you're setting on yourself or creating. So why would I set goals if it's just going to feel like slavery or torture? Well, I can tell you too that, you know, having worked with many business owners and founders of businesses over the years, you know, often they don't want to set goals because now they're accountable, right? If you set a goal, you're going to be accountable. But what if I don't achieve the goal? Well, so what? It's your goal. Change the timeline, change the goal, right? Just like that client I told you about at the beginning of the show, he changed his goal. He didn't want the car, he wanted the motorcycle. And so it's your goal, feel free to change it, right? But if you don't have anything, I guarantee you, if you don't have anything you're shooting for, you're going to hit it because you're not shooting for anything. You know, Dr. Robert Anthony said, when you blame others, you give your power up. When you blame others, you give up your power for change. That was his exact quote. And so that is so true. So I want to talk about blame, and I want to talk about taking responsibility. Like I said, we're going to go a lot deeper than just setting SMART goals here on the show today. So when you're blaming others, you are not taking responsibility. You know, if you're complaining, you're making excuses, you know, you're blaming the economy for not doing well, or, you know, you just don't have the right team, or you don't have enough resources, or whatever that is that you're using as you know, to do the blame game, you're not taking responsibility. So let's start with, you have to take 100% responsibility for anything that you do or anything that you didn't get done. The buck stops with you. So if you're going to set some goals and you don't achieve them because you didn't do some things, okay, then don't blame, just own it. Right? And don't blame outside influences either, because even in a bad economy, somebody in your industry is doing well. So why isn't it you? Well, that's a great question you need to ask yourself. If you've got a competitor in every industry, everybody knows someone who's doing well in their industry, regardless of the economy, then why isn't it your business? Now, is your glass half full or glass half empty? Well, I'm half full. Are you really sure you're half full, or are you glass half empty? I mean, ask some people around you. Are you more negative or more positive? Right? It makes a difference, because positive people are more likely to achieve their goals than negative people, because they're seeing the opportunities when they show up. They're seeing, you know, those maybe random things that seem random that show up, but all of a sudden they go, well, you know what, that's exactly going to help me for the goal I set, right? Whereas if you're being in negative mode, and I'm never going to achieve anything, or I'm not going to make it, or I'm not going to be able to do it, you're just feeding your mind with nothing but negativity. How can your mind even go out there and find the opportunities? You know, every person on average has 60,000 thoughts a day. I mean, that's proven. Science has proven we have 60 to 65,000 thoughts a day. Here's the amazing thing to me. 95% of our thoughts are the same every day. So we just repeat the same 95% of our thoughts on a daily basis, and 80% of those thoughts are negative. So 4 out of 5 of our thoughts aren't even helpful. They're negative, and we repeat 95% of them every single day, and then we wonder why our life doesn't change, why we can't seem to grow our business, why we can't seem to move forward, you know, why we can't achieve, you know, bigger, better things in our careers. Well, go have a look at your thoughts for a minute. You know, see what's going on there. You know, Gandhi said, a man is but the product of his thoughts, what he thinks he becomes. You know, if we look at the Bible, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You know, when we look at Buddha, he said, the mind is everything. What you think, you become. You know, the late Wayne Dyer, you know, who I've read lots of his books, listened to lots of his audios and watched his videos over the years, saw him live when he was alive as well several times, said the law of attraction is this. You don't attract what you want, you attract what you are. So they're all really saying the same thing. They're saying that, you know, we really need to start watching our thinking and our mind and our beliefs. And, you know, if we're not achieving what we want, then what's the roadblock? You know, if your goal is to earn, let's say, $1 million, and, you know, there's lots of smaller business owners that I've talked to over the years where their first goal is always to hit $1 million in revenue. Everybody wants to kind of hit that number. You know, and then when they hit the million, they set some other number. Maybe it's 5 million or 10 million or whatever that looks like. You know, hundreds of million-dollar companies usually set the target. They want to get to $1 billion. Right. So, you know, but if you set a goal to earn $1 million, you personally want to earn $1 million. And then you keep telling yourself you don't have enough customers. You don't know how. You're not experienced enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. I don't have enough time. I don't have the right staff. Good staff are hard to find. I don't have enough resources. The economy isn't helpful right now. Well, what are you feeding your mind with? I mean, every one of those thoughts was negative. And those of you listening, you've all had those thoughts. You know you have. And so what do you fill in your mind with? If it's 80% negative or more, and 95% of it is repetitive, those 60,000 thoughts, I can promise you, are not that helpful. You know, nor can you use them as an excuse. Let me give you an example. You know, some of you might have heard of Ming-No. And if you don't know who Ming-No is the founder of Memory Express. You know, they're a large electronics retailer here in the city of Calgary. He's, you know, that's where he started, and then he expanded his company into other provinces here in Canada. Big online presence, you know, so if you Google Memory Express, they come up right away. They have a big, you know, shipping warehouse where they ship globally, right? But, you know, I met Ming-No in the parking lot of one of his stores a few years back. And we started to talk, and I talked about, well, how did you get started? And, you know, was it tough? And he said, absolutely, it was tough. He said, you know, computers and computer parts, which is where they started. Now they do other things like cameras and TVs and things. But when they started, he said, computers and computer parts were a very tough competitive industry. Like, you know, there was some small players, but there was, you know, a couple of massive players in the country. And he said he started with a desk that he found in a dumpster. He had pulled the desk out of the dumpster, and that's how he started his company. And then he would dumpster dive, literally. This was back in the era before everybody kept everything electronically and there was a lot of paper-based still, but he would dumpster dive and found supplier lists from his competitors in their dumpster so that he could figure out who they were buying their parts from. So a desk he got in a dumpster and supplier lists that he found in a dumpster, and then he had no money. So he said, I couldn't even build computers for my customers. If they actually had an order for me, I couldn't build any computers because I had no money. So he had to get his customers to prepay for their orders so he could order supplies from the lists that he got in the dumpster so he could pay for the order. Because again, they're not giving you any credit when they don't know who you are. So he could build the computer for his customers. Now, you know, here we are years later, and they've got, last time I checked, they had 7 locations, might be more now, and a huge online sales presence. So what's the difference? Well, he wasn't following all his negative thoughts and making excuses that he didn't have money, he didn't know how. He was in a competitive industry, it was tough to make money. Like, he wasn't listening to any of those thoughts. He said, you know what, I need to create something, and I'm going to get creative, and I'm going to let my mind search for the solution. There's a glass half full guy if you ever met him. And so that's the story of Memory Express and how they got started. What excuses are you using to holding you back, both personally and in your business and in your career? Now, it's going to get real quiet here, not for very long. I'm going to give you just a little bit of time right now to think, just to watch your thoughts, just literally for a few minutes, right? I'm going to start a timer here and give you 30 seconds. It's going to feel like 30 minutes for some of you, but I'm going to give you 30 seconds to just watch your thoughts. What are you thinking about in those 30 seconds? So here we go. Okay, that was 30 seconds. You know, I'll be honest with you, when we do this in large audiences, we make them sit for 5 minutes watching their thoughts, right? And we have complete silence in the room for an entire 5 minutes. Those 30 seconds for some of you felt like forever. And you had lots of thoughts, and some of you had thoughts like, this is a waste of time. Okay, I get it already. You know, why am I doing this? This seems useless, right? All of those thoughts are pretty much negative, right? So did you have any positive thoughts? Did you have any aha moments? Well, probably not in 30 seconds. But you want to start taking some time and take a breath and see what's going on in your mind. Because if you've been telling yourself a whole bunch of negative stories, at least taking a breath puts you back in the present moment, and you can change your focus and change your thinking to being more positive. You know, so let's talk about feelings. Okay, I know, especially the males on listening right now are going to say, well, wait a minute, we're going to talk about feelings? Do I really got to talk about feelings? Yes, because we're going to talk about feelings in action. You know, we've talked about thoughts a lot. We're going to go to feelings in action. But before we do that, we are going to take a quick break. So we're going to take a commercial break, and I'll be right back. But when we talk about after the break, what we're going to talk about is feelings, and then that's going to lead into how do we take action, how do we move forward on our goals, and how do we even achieve our goals. So we'll be right back.
Propelling your business to new heights is easier than you think. Sonic Breakthrough Coaching can help provide the right tools you need to get there. Sonic Breakthrough Coaching works with business owners to improve both team and financial performance, and with a proven track record of successfully helping owners and leaders turn around negative performance and morale and soar sales and profit performance to new levels. The time is now. Sonic Breakthrough Coaching, helping good businesses breakthrough to great. Visit soniccoaching.com.
Welcome back, everyone. And so those of you just joining us, we are talking about goal setting that really works. We've talked about, different things. Are you glass half full, glass half empty? Are your goals and everything you want to try and achieve in your life overwhelming you? And, you know, what are your thoughts saying to you? You know, we have 60 to 65,000 thoughts a day. And when most of them are negative and 95% of them are repetitive, that's not all that helpful. So that's what we've been talking to up till now. Now we're going to talk a little bit about feelings, right? So, you know, we've all heard, you know, you got to visualize and you got to, you know, sit on the couch and you got to close your eyes and you got to visualize every day what you want to achieve. Well, I can tell you can visualize for 100 years and you may not achieve anything. Right? And I can tell you, because I did it, right? I'm not saying visualization doesn't work. It absolutely does. So if you want to visualize, go ahead and do that. But what I am going to tell you that if you're visualizing without feeling the emotion that would go with that visualization, probably nothing's going to happen. You know, and I'm pretty good at the whole visualization game, but I actually get into the feeling of what it feels like to have that goal happen to me as if it happened right now. And so when you get into the feeling, and this is harder for men, I'll be honest, you know, when I talk to audiences and we talk to men and women, you know, the men always have a harder time getting into the feeling of things than the women do. You know, again, and I am generalizing. It's not that, you know, as men we don't feel things, but, you know, we've, you know, often been told as kids, you know, big boys, you know, don't cry, and, you know, all of those things that we learned to kind of shut our feelings down. So let me give an example. You know, years ago, I joined a large grocery chain. I was the first external hire of this grocery chain in the history of the company, you know, and they were in the middle of restructuring, and I became part of the restructuring team. Well, I could tell you that, you know, I had visualized when I got there, I went in under a 2IC role, so second in command role. And I had visualized that I actually wanted to be in charge of one of these massive locations. And so I was visualizing it, but how I visualize it is, you know, every night when I was in charge of locking up the location, closing the store and making sure everything was all, you know, secure before we went home for the day, I would walk around and feel the feeling. I would visualize it, but I would more feel the feeling that that was my store, that was my location. And I can tell you, 6 months later, which was very quickly when you think about that, 6 months later, there was an opportunity in one of the locations. They were looking for a new general manager. And so I had approximately 30 counterparts that were all vying for that same location, many of them who had been groomed and been working there for, you know, as much as a decade or more to be prepared for that kind of a role. Remember, I'm the new guy in the organization. And so I, you know, did the interviews and ended up getting that location. I ended up getting the position. So what's the difference? Well, I got lucky? No, I didn't get lucky. You know, I was feeling the feelings, visualizing, but I also was taking action. So that's the next step we want to talk about. You can visualize all you want sitting on the couch while they repossess your house, and that's not going to be that helpful. You know, because again, you need to be moving forward and taking some action steps so that life can actually step in and help you along the way. So, you know, we really need to get in what things feel like. Let me give you another example. You know, there was a very high-end vehicle. This was a number of years ago, very high-end vehicle that I was visualizing that I would really like to own. And, you know, I visualized it, but with the visualization, I used to feel like what it would feel like to be sitting in that car. And I've actually had an opportunity to sit in that vehicle at one point. At a car show. And so I knew what it felt like. I knew what the inside of the car looked like. And I just visualized that. And I had the picture of the car pinned up on the bulletin board in my office right where my computer was. So I saw it every day. And once in a while, I'd, you know, kind of glance at it and kind of go, oh, it just feels so good to have that car. Not to have that car in the future, but just to have that car. And I can tell you that within 6 months, that car showed up just like that. Right out of the blue, it actually showed up at a price point that was unheard of. I could actually afford the vehicle. So, you know, you can visualize, but if you're not putting some feelings into it, it's the feelings that exponentially give your visualization power. You know, Greg Braden, well-known author Greg Braden, he's also a speaker. You know, The Spontaneous Healing of Belief is one of his books among many others. You know, I've read his books, and, you know, his background is a computer system designer in the aerospace industry. So here's a guy who's very science-based as well. You know, as a boy, he wanted a dog. No matter what anyone said as to why it would never happen, he wanted a dog. He would go to sleep feeling like he had a puppy, and he would imagine stroking the puppy and feeling the puppy up against him in the bed. That's what he visualized. You notice there's a lot of feeling there, feeling the puppy, stroking the puppy and what it felt like, feeling it up against him in the bed, right? And then one day he entered a contest at school on why they would want to own a dog, why he would want to own a dog, and he won a collie puppy, which is exactly the type of dog that he wanted. You see, kids aren't blocked. They just believe. Nobody's deprogrammed them that we can't achieve these things, right? But what was the difference? He had a strong belief, and he felt what it felt like to have that dog with him, even though the dog wasn't there yet. So the only thing that was missing was the dog showing up, which it did, right? That it's no different than when I wanted the position running one of the largest grocery centers in the entire chain, right? And so, or the car, right? Or my client, you know, achieving 10 of his goals over the course of the first year of me working with him, right? So you really want to start thinking about how are you feeling about things, and are you giving it some time to actually feel your way into what it would feel like to accomplish that. So, you know, Neville Goddard said, a change of feeling is a change of destiny. A change of feeling is a change of destiny. And so you really want to start feeling your way into this goal setting. Folks, I know this isn't the stuff that everybody else is talking about. Yes, should they be SMART goals? Of course, you can go ahead and make SMART goals. But if you're not feeling what it's going to feel like and you're not taking action steps, forget it. You know, you're not even giving it the opportunity of having all the power behind it that it needs. You know, and then I'm going to give you the missing link. So here's the ultimate secret that kind of supercharges, so to speak, your goal setting. And that is having gratitude. Being grateful for everything you have today in your life. You know, and many of the wisest teachers on the planet have been saying this for years, right, if we're listening to them. We must be grateful for everything that we have now. And that's how we get into the positive feelings to be able to translate that into the feelings of the items or the things that we want to achieve or accomplish in our lifetime. So I'll give you an example again in my life. You know, a number of years ago, I was going through a very difficult divorce and I started a gratitude journal. So before I went to bed, I didn't want to think about all the hardship I was going through and all the difficult emotions I was feeling, you know, going through that divorce. So I decided I wanted to go to bed and program my, you know, my brain at least, so my subconscious could work on feeling good when I went to sleep versus bad. And so one of the things I did is I started this gratitude journal, and I had a minimum of three things that I would need to write down that I'm grateful for. Now, some nights, if it was a really good night, I'd write five, six, or seven items, but minimum was three. Well, I can tell you, some nights I didn't even want to write one, right? It was a particularly bad day. I was having a bad headspace, but I forced myself to think of three things. And they were, you know, they weren't earth-shattering. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes it was like I was grateful that, you know, the sun was up today, and that I had, you know, a really tasty chocolate bar as a snack at, you know, in the afternoon, and whatever the third item was. So, like I said, these weren't earth-shattering. But I forced myself to be grateful for something, because there's always something to be grateful for, even when you're going through your darkest times. And so I did that, going to bed every night. Well, I can tell you that's what kept me moving forward. And during that entire time when most people would feel that their business is going to suffer and they're not going to do as well, during that entire time, as I was feeling grateful, my business actually grew quicker than it had in the previous years when I was working hard without going through any hardship. So I don't know if it's coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence, but being grateful is kind of that little secret missing link that you want to be aware of. You know, in the surrender experiment, Michael Singer, the author, tells a story where he was in Mexico and the workers didn't have enough food and they weren't even allowed to fish on the owner's land. So even though there was plenty of fish in the river, the stream, they weren't allowed to fish. So, you know, he was there and he gave them a bag of rice and beans that were under the back seat of his car. And he remembered how grateful they were, the gratitude they had from this simple act of kindness. And to him, he said, this was nothing. Like, it cost them virtually nothing. It was nothing in the bigger picture for him. And to them, it was everything. So if you can get into that kind of feeling of gratitude, everything will change for you. You know, again, I mentioned Wayne Dyer's quote earlier. You know, Wayne Dyer, you know, in his book Wishes Fulfilled, talks about, you know, the 5 minutes before you go to bed, you want to get into a space of gratitude. And then you want to feel what you want to create. And your subconscious will work the entire evening, the entire night while you're asleep, helping to manifest that, helping to help you create that. Now, you may think this is, you know, a bunch of hogwash and it doesn't work. But I can tell you that the most successful people I've met have some form of doing this, whether they know it consciously or not. They're creating all the time, and they've eliminated all the negativity and doubt in their minds that they can't create it. And it just shows up, right? And I can tell you that, you know, my partner Maria and I, you know, that's how we met. Like, I would go to bed doing exactly what Wayne Dyer had recommended, feeling grateful for my day. Remember, I had three things I had to write down, minimum. And then I would feel the feeling of what it was like to have my partner beside me, even though I had no partner, right? What did it feel like to have somebody beside me that was loving, kind, and caring? You know, and I would feel them up against me, even though there was nobody there. And it didn't take long where, you know, she showed up in my life, and we've been together for a number of years since. So, you know, this is some things you want to think about, because it does work. And, you know, Wayne Dyer even said that if you end up forgetting the feeling or you end up getting into some negativity, then get out of bed, have a glass of water, turn the light on, and start the process over again. And I did. Some nights I got up and went, had a glass of water, and started the whole gratitude and the feelings of what it was like to have a partner beside me over again, because I did not want to go to sleep with the negative thoughts. You know, Lao Tzu said, those who flow as life flows know they need no other force. so important. You know, so let me ask you, you know, some questions. You know, what are the three most important things that you want to improve in your business success this year? So what are three? You know, pause the recording if you need to, but write those three things down. What are three things that you want to improve in your business success this year? You know, what are three things? You know, I call this the power of three. What are three things that your competitors are doing that you want to do better than them? Okay, so think about your competitors. What are three things you want to do better than they're doing currently? And then, you know, what are three things that make you stand out from your competitors so you can promote those differences? By the way, I often say it can't be your service is better, your product is better, because it's hard for your potential clients, even though it might be, it's hard for your potential clients to actually figure that out unless you can really prove it to them, right? But what are three things that make you stand out from your competitors? And then the fourth question is, what are three things that annoy your customers or make it difficult for them to do business with you? And what can you do to improve that particular situation? Right? So power three, three by three. Ask yourself those questions, right? And start working towards improving that. Now, you know, when we look at, you know, trying to improve, and one of the other things that I often will talk about is I'll talk about 10% improvements, right? So, you know, 10%, everybody can achieve a 10% improvement. So what could you improve? What's the one thing? We've talked about the threes. Now look at your power of three answers, right? But if you could improve one thing in your business by 10% this year, what would it be? Or next year, if you're your end. So over the next year, what's one thing you could improve 10% in your business? And then on a scale of 1 to 10, now that you've got that, make sure you have that written down. On a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to doing it? You know, this is the question where the rubber hits the road. I've often had clients come up with, yeah, I want to improve this by at least 10% this year. Great, right? And then on a scale of 1 to 10, how committed are you to getting it done? They give me a 5. It's like, well, good luck with that, right? And, you know, so then if you're giving it a 5 or you're not giving it at least an 8, 9, or even a 10, right, then you have to answer the next question, which is, why did you give it a 5? What's the reason you gave that particular question of 5 that you're only committed to maybe a 5 or a 6 level, or maybe it's a 3 or a 2 even, right, that you're going to committed to get that done or achieved? So look at that answer. What was that reason? And start working through the reason or the block or the excuse potentially that's holding you back. So that's what I want you to think about when you were thinking about the power of 10%. Now, we're getting close to the end of the show, but this wouldn't be complete unless we talked about one more thing around goal setting, and that's vision boards. And we've all heard about vision boards, and if you haven't, Google it. There's lots of examples. You know, I can tell you, you know, Jack Canfield, you know, the author of the Chicken Soup series of books, you know, has talked a lot, you know, in all his talks about vision boards. He has a vision board and you know, how he sets 10 kind of important goals in the different areas of his life on his vision board every year. And, you know, this is a man who's setting massive visions, right? He's pretty successful. He's a multimillionaire. And so when he's setting his goals, you know, they're big goals. They're stretch goals. They're things he really wants to achieve. And he sets them up on his vision board and he looks at those pictures and he feels the feeling. He talks about it. I feel the feeling of what it's like to achieve those goals. You know, and the one time I did listen to him when he was talking about it, he said, you know, at the end of the year, he achieved 9 out of 10. He said, you know what? I was okay with it. You know, achieving 9 massive goals out of 10 is pretty successful, right? And then he went on to say, but he achieved the 10th one 3 months late. So he achieved it anyway. It was just 3 months later getting there, right? So if you haven't got a vision board, you know, start considering doing a vision board. This is a lot of fun. I've done it with my family. You know, when my kids were little, we got some bulletin boards or Bristol board, whatever you've got access to. And, you know, go to the computer, start printing out some pictures or grab some magazines, start cutting out pictures and just create that vision board. I remember when my son was very, very young, he was probably 7 or maybe 8 years old. And one of my sons had put a tractor, a little plastic pedal tractor on his vision board, and it had a little trailer on it. And, you know, he put on the vision board, among some other things. You know, kids often want toys and those kinds of things when they're creating vision boards, and that's perfectly fine. And a few months later, I actually had a supplier of mine say, you know, we've got some leftover promotional items that we couldn't use. Are you interested? I know you've got kids. Are you interested in one of these promotional items? I said, sure, yeah. I mean, I'd love one. Thanks very much. So he brought the promotional item in. It happened to be a tractor, right? And so I took it home, opened it up, built it, assembled it. My son was sitting on it when he realized that, Dad, that's the same tractor as the one on my vision board. And, you know, he dragged me upstairs to his room and showed me his vision board. And it wasn't almost the same tractor. It was exactly the same tractor. Now, again, kids are open, right? Coincidence? Yeah, you could say maybe coincidence. But kids are open. Kids have no blocks. They're not having all the negative thoughts about things aren't going to achieve and happen and get done. And that he achieved that. You know, as I said at the beginning of the show, this is a goal setting show that is slightly different than everything else you've heard. Should you have some form of SMART goals? Absolutely. I think if, you know, same as a good, you know, good successful corporation, they've got to be, you know, your goals have to be, you know, specific, measurable. How do you know you've achieved them if they're not measurable? You know, they should be aligned with your values, realistic, at least in your own mind, and they should be time bound, right? Put a timeline on them. Now, if you don't achieve it in the timeline, extend the timeline. Even Jack Canfield, one of his showed up 3 months later, right? And so change your timeline. But again, if you have no goals, here's my promise to you. You're going to achieve exactly what you set your goals towards, which isn't as much as you could have had you set some goals. And then, as I said, get into the feelings, take action, keep taking action, stay positive, and I promise you that you will achieve more than everybody else around you in your life. That's absolute, pretty much can guarantee you that. You know, thanks very much for listening to our show. You know, always a pleasure to share the information that works with my clients and with myself in my own life. You know, really excited about our next show. Now that we've talked about how do you set goals, excited because our next show we're going to talk about how do you remove the constraints. What are the roadblocks and the constraints that are holding you back to achieving that success of the goals that you've set? So, you know, listen to our next show coming up next week. And remember, if you want to connect with us, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, you know, just look for Sonic Coaching, connect with us, you know, like us. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to post some questions. Glad to respond online for you. And also, if you, you know, if you have a great question or we get the same question a lot, maybe we'll even turn it into a show for you. Now, here's a gift for you today. You know, we're coming up close to the end of the year, and I love to share this gift at the end of the year because it's a great time to start, you know, visioning your next year. And so we call it Creating Your Personal Paradise. It's a visioning worksheet that we've created here at Sonic Coaching. And so that's my gift to you. If you're interested in a copy of this, glad to send it to you. There's some fantastic questions. You can envision your life over the next 5 years. And just email us at info@sonickcoaching.com. That's info@sonickcoaching.com. Thanks, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week.